flying over the weeks, months, and years to convince you that you really are the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll try many angles. Tonight, I'll try another. We are told, I and my Father are one. At that, they took up stones again to stone him. And he asked them, for what good work were they going to stone him? And they said, not for any good work, but for your blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. And then he said to them, is it not written in your law, I say you are God? And scripture cannot be broken. If then he called them God, to whom the word of God came, then he who is consecrated by the Father and saint, is he blaspheming when he claims, I am the Son of God? This you will read in the 10th chapter of the book of John. Now let us take a very interesting statement from early Genesis, the 6th chapter of Genesis. Here we are told the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. And they took to wife such as they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. The sons of God fell in love with the daughters of men. If you take it out on the surface, you will think a bunch of women and these gods fell in love with them. But the word translated daughter is ben. The word ben means son. That's the first definition of it. It also means everything related to man. A robber, a soldier, a hero, a nation, a condition. Look up the word in your concordance if you have one. I'm using Strong, which I consider the best concordance of the Bible. Then what are they? The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. And they took to wife such as they chose. May I tell you who these daughters are? Humanity. This is God's emanation, yet his wife, till the sleep of death is past. You fell in love with whatever now you call yourself. You call yourself Gray, call yourself Jan, call yourself Natalie, call yourself Neville. These are emanations. Now listen to this, faith in deacon. This is a true vision of Blake, called the vision of the last judgment. Eternity exists, and all things in eternity, independent of creation, which was an act of mercy. Can you conceive of everything in the world that man could ever do, or ever think of doing, existing now? Eternity exists, and all things in eternity, independent of creation, which was an act of mercy. Now he tells us of that act of mercy in one simple little statement. And this is the act of mercy. God became as we are, that we may become as he is. Here is humanity, part of the eternal structure of the world. And God, to raise it to the level of Godhood, God had to descend. It could not itself ascend. Only that which first descended could ever ascend. So the sons of God, and the sons of God make God. For the word God is plural. Elohim is made up of his sons. His sons are the power and the wisdom of God. So I will not let my spirit, which is my son, abide forever in man, for he is flesh. But my sons must be redeemed. Now, what is he telling us in Satan? Listen to it carefully. God became as we are, that we may be as he is. This implies that man is not naturally God, but that God mercifully becomes man, that man may become God. You are the God spoken of. You are the God that came down and you took as wife your choice. Whether you be male or female, you are the Son of God. And you choose to play the part of John, Peter, Mary, call it what you will. You know exactly what you're going to go through. You saw the horrors of it all, but you are immortal. You are an immortal man. So you choose the part. I chose this. And I have gone through all the horrors of the world and the joy too. Because joy and pain and sorrow are woven fine, a garment for the soul divine. So I chose it. And all the little things that it had to go through, I took it through. I did all the suffering. As Blake brings up again, they say there is no God. Well, who says that? The fool says in his heart there is no God. Or Son of God. But I know thee. And he speaks now of the Son of God. And he calls him the human imagination. They say there is no Son of God. But I know thee, O divine body, O human imagination. When you arise upon my weary eyes, every morning you feel it come back. Don't you feel it come back when you wake in the morning? If you take a little nap in the day, don't you actually feel something return? But who is returning? It's you, the immortal you, the divine body of God, is your own wonderful human imagination. For I tell you, we are the sons of God spoken of that saw humanity, and it seems so fair to us. Being immortal, we knew we could come down. And we chose the one we would call wife. So this is my wife, Neville is my wife. I have a wife in the world of Caesar. I now call her Bill. And together we bore a daughter. But my real wife is this thing called Neville. It is my emanation. It's my emanation, yet my wife, till the sleep of death is past. The day will come, all of a sudden, I awake from the dream of life, because I will not let my spirit abide in man forever, for he is flesh. So I came down into this and chose this, and I take it through all the things of this world. And not one moment will I simply avoid the doing. I can't avoid it. When I come down into it, everything that relates to this thing called level, I must actually go through and play. And you go through it and you play. In the end, you will come out. And when you come out, you are still the Son of God. And collectively, as sons of God, we are God. But I am telling you from my own experience while you are here before you come out. Begin to pray. I am not misleading you. I am telling you what I know from experience. Because you have the power while still in the garment of flesh, while you abide in your choice, you have the power to change things in the world you see them, and you can do it. Anyone can do it if you believe that he really is that Son of God. Now listen to these words. He who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Well, now, you have united the being that you are claiming as yourself to you. So you say, I am Jan. Alright? I am this. I am that. Now, let's unite it to the Lord, because you are the Lord. You're going to lift up that consciousness with you. You came down into this world to actually redeem humanity. The whole vast world is waiting eagerly. Waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, as you're told in the 8th chapter of Romans. I do not consider the sufferings of this present time worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Now the whole creation groans and waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, for the sons are buried in the creation. And we, the sons, are going to bring up, having once identified ourselves with our choice, which is called in Scripture our wife. And the two shall become one. I will not stop until we become one. And when you awake me, I tell you, you are conscious of the being that you are now. When I awoke in the grave of my own child, I was still conscious of being never. But how do I know that was the Lord Jesus Christ? Because everything that is written in Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, from then on I experienced it as myself. I did not know at that moment that David would ever stand before me and call me Father. I had no idea that that ancient character of Scripture was contemporary. I did not know that the veil of the temple really was related to me, as told in the book of Hebrews, and the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and that veil was his own flesh. Well, it is your own flesh, because your whole body is torn in two. I had no idea that the dove spoken of in Scripture that actually would light upon my hand and smother me and remain with me, and then the whole thing would fade, or rather fade while it's remaining with me. So everything said of him, I experience. Then I know who I am. Yet I'm still conscious of the fact that I am never. I am taking him up with me. I came down to redeem man. You came down, we all came down, we are the gods. We are the sons of God. And to us, everything concerning man seems fair. What we call it God, but the word is Ben. And the word Ben means son in Scripture. My son, Beni, is my son. That's what the word means. It also can be translated as God. But when you take all the definitions, it means the nation. It means the condition. It means everything related to man. And I took upon myself everything related to man. Willingly. No one takes away my life. I lay down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to lift it up again. And so I laid it down. and died in the sense I completely forgot who I am, and believed I am the choice that I made. I believe I am never. But I will not leave him behind. I will lift him up and take him with me. For when I awoke within me, I was still never. Then all the things that happened to me bore witness that I am the one spoken of in Scripture that is called Jesus Christ. Yet I am aware I am never. I did not leave him behind. I faced myself. I was redeemed. Because if God became as we are, that we may be as he is, does that not imply that we as man are not naturally God, but that God's merciful act in becoming man, that man may become God, redeems man? We are the God that came down and assumed these limitations to redeem man, because man would be helpless in himself. Think of the whole vast world frozen and time standing still. Everything frozen. But all that could ever happen to man already worked out. Every tale, every smile, every horror, everything worked out completely. And in spite of all of it, you and I, as the God, the sons of God, who together make up God the Father, and we made our decision. And you chose that, I chose this, and we chose it, and we came down. And actually assumed it. And then we go through the horror. As told us in Isaiah, I will now test you and try you in the furnaces of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For my own sake. For how should my name be profaned? My name I will not give to another. But his name is I am. And now I say, I am never. For I have to make never myself to give it my name. I did not drop it behind me. When I walked within my power, I was still never. But I had the innate wisdom to know what to do. Well, who is the wisdom of Scripture? Christ, as we're told in the first chapter of Corinthians. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now that wonderful 8th chapter of Proverbs, which is a hymn in praise of wisdom, it was with God in the beginning. As you're told, start it from the 22nd verse and go through to the end. And this is all about wisdom. And wisdom is speaking. God possesses at the beginning of his way. Well, take this now, not in terms of, say, time, but of ideas. The first idea, the pattern of redemption. That pattern is a pattern man. The pattern man is Christ. Now we are told that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And Christ is in you, we are told. If God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and Christ is in us, is not God in us? Now, the pattern is the pattern man. You have completely controlled this, and you walk and you suffer as Neville, as John, as Mary, as Ina. Whatever it is, you're suffering with it. In the very end, that peculiar eruption takes place, and you awake. But you awake, and you're still Ina, you're still John, you're still man, you're still whatever it is, you awake. But you know now, wisdom now comes to the fore, and you know exactly what to do, where to put, and what you do happens. And then you come out just as you know you would. And the whole thing happened just as described in Scripture. Now you know from the signs that are taking place one after the other who you really are. But you haven't lost the identity of being John, of being
Mary, of being anything that was your choice when you chose it as your wife. You can choose anything. The wife simply means emanation. That was the emanation of God. This is an emanation. My emanation gets my wife. So the sleep of death is past. So I chose it. And what horrors I have gone through. But they're being removed until the end, and then they will be as nothing. So I redeemed them, because he could not redeem himself. But I will not leave my spirit, which is the spirit of power and wisdom, to abide in man forever, because he is flesh. I must bring him out as spirit, for flesh begets flesh, and spirit begets spirit. So I must bring him out now as spirit. So never comes out as spirit. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I who came down and assumed the limitations of this God and was crucified on it, waited until that appointed hour. I was promised in the beginning that the vision shown me in the beginning will one day ripen and it will flower. And if it seem in my sorrow to be long, wait, for it is sure, and it will not be late. So I had to wait. And then that sudden eruption took place within me. And then I came out. And I haven't lost any change of identity. I am still aware that I am the being that I was. Only I know from the signs that follow, the phrase, who I now really am. And I'm no more than I was before I came down, only augmented by the redemption of this thing that was part of the structure of the universe. So that's who we are. I'm telling you who you are. And before it happens to you, claim it. You're not making any false claim, believe me. If you think that I'm out of the minute, go back and read the 10th chapter of John. I and my Father are one. And then they pick up stone. What stone? Stone from the street? No. The stone means the facts of life. We know who he is. We know his parents. He's not his father Joseph. He's not his mother Mary. He's not her brothers. And they name four brothers. And they speak of sisters in the plural. And he dares to say God is his father, and he goes beyond that and claims that he is one with his father, who men call God, but that's blasphemy. So they take the facts of life, and they throw the facts at him, not stones from the street, but all the facts. What can you do to the rational mind to appease them? What can you do? He claims before now the qualification of a rational mind. And the rational mind said to him, because he now rules, and he represents Caesar, are you the king of the Jews? And he said to him, do you know this of your own accord? Or did others tell it to you about me? And he answered, am I a Jew? He wasn't the British by that. He keeps on saying, my kingdom, he doesn't mean I am the king, my kingdom is not of this world. Then said he, so you are the king. Did you say that I am? For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. No mortal eye sees that he is a king. He's not only king, he is king of kings. And Lord of Lords, and that's you to be. The crucifixion is over, completely over. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. This is now the flesh speaking. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and became me. And so you are that Son of God who fell in love with what you feel yourself to be now. You are that Son of God. And this that you fell in love with is crucified with you. And so Neville is crucified with that which fell in love with him, which was the Son of God. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, became me. So you fell in love with whatever you are now. You may at moments see my Lord, why? Why? How long, Lord? But you fell in love with it. And may I tell you honestly, you wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. You would possibly like to enjoy some of the wealth that someone else has. But who on earth would really want to give up his identity for any other identity in the world? Can you conceive of any being in this world that you would like to be other than who you are? You would like to be comfortable as they are, but not at the expense of losing your identity. No one really would tell me honestly that I would like to be completely out of this thing and not ever be this thing and the other. Or other as far as wealth goes, but not at the loss of identity. That's your choice. You chose that. And then you came down. And we all made our choice. Listen to the word, the 6th chapter of Genesis. And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. The new translation is that they were beautiful. And they chose as wives such as they wanted. Whatever they wanted. We had the choice. So I chose that one. Now, I can't control it from above and experience anything on earth. I have to actually come down. And so I descended. And in my descent, I have to completely forget that I am the Son of God and believe that I'm never. And then go through all the things that Neville must go through. It was all written. And then I play the part. And then in the end, when that hour comes, a sudden eruption takes place within me. And memory returns what I have saved Neville. Now I raised him to the level now, taking him back. So I am augmenting the power of God and the wisdom of God by experiencing that state called matter. And in the end, everyone is forgiven. Everyone is God. For we are the sons of God. Let no one tell you that the Son of God is something of the outside. The Son is made up of the Son of God. Listen to these words carefully. I say you are God, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall as one man, O ye princes. That you'll find in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Normally, it does not have fall as one man, but the literal translation of the Hebrew is you will fall as one man. So one man fell. That one man is called Jesus Christ. But it's fragmented, the sons now. Because the one is made up of the many. The word is Elohim. It's a compound unity, one made up of many. So all are now scattered, and we are the fragmented beings. And you chose what you are now wearing. I chose what I am wearing. And who knows what anyone has gone through. So don't brag. Don't judge. We do not know what we have done, what we are doing, and what is in store for us. Not until the end. And the end comes, and then the sons begin to come out. For I will not leave my spirit. His spirit is his son. I will not leave my spirit in man forever. For he is flesh. He has to redeem it and come out. I must have my sons back. So now send out the call. Call my sons from afar. and call my daughter from the ends of the earth. For the call now is to call us all back. And we're being called back, and what a rejoicing when we all be joined. So I tell you, I know you in eternity. I know you more intimately than anyone in this world knows you. Because I know who you and I were before the descent. And coming back, I will know you, enhanced by reason of the choice you made and the part you played. All these we are playing. It's a play, the most glorious play. And so I will choose a garment made of white skin, one made of black skin, one made of yellow skin. I will choose a nation. In all, it's simply our choice as sons. And done here, these are the battles of God. Because he's forgotten who it is. So if I have been united with him in a death like this, I shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. I see the change in tense. The crucifixion is over. If I have been united with him in a death like this, I shall be united with him in a resurrection. That's the future thing. So he tells in his second letter to Timothy that they are those who are saying that the resurrection is over and past. They are misleading the people and turning them from their faith. The crucifixion is over. For you are crucified now. You've made your choice. And the minute you made your choice and became one with the thing that you chose, call John, call Mary, call what it is, that crucifixion is over, this is the cross. But the resurrection is in the future, and it's taking place every moment of time. So all of us are being resurrected, but all are already crucified. You aren't going to be crucified. You're crucified on this garment of flesh, and you're going to be resurrected. And when you're resurrected, you are the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are going to be resurrected as the being you really are. Start claiming it now. You believe all things are possible to Christ? Well, start claiming it now. I'm telling you that you really are now. Before you're resurrected, you are the Lord Jesus Christ. And if all things are possible to him, let's start now to assume it. Just assume it. If you would dare to assume that you are now the one you want to be, I tell you, you will become it, if you persist in the assumption. For you will see what the visionary meant when he said that God becomes as we are, that we may be as he is. And you can see by that statement he implies that man is not naturally God. But God mercifully becomes man, that man may become God. So you mercifully became what you are now. You actually, that was an act of mercy. Eternity exists. And all things in eternity, independent of creation, which was an act of mercy. And that act of mercy was when you made your choice. And you came down to redeem that which could not redeem itself. And take upon yourself the weaknesses and the limitations of the thing that you now wear and call yourself. And the day will come, you will awaken as that being, and the two shall become one. And you will ascend with him, ascend with her, and come back as the ones we know and knew before that the world was, and that was, we are all brothers. All brothers. It will be almost one grand, hilarious moment, the part to be played. But we are all extended by reason of the part we played. For we took upon ourselves the limitation, the contraction that was at the limit of contraction. And then we broke it. And then he started moving and extending. He moved back into a fantastic extension beyond what we were. There is no limit to expansion, for we set the limit to contraction. No limit to translucency. We set the limit to opacity. And then we took upon ourselves the limit. And then one day, having suffered all, done all, at length then, for hatching life, he breaks the shell. And everything said in that story, you experience. You don't have to talk about it. I talk about it morning, noon, and night. But it doesn't really matter. You may not be given that urge to talk about it. I can't stop talking about it. I talk about it in my dreams. I talk about it at dinner. I talk about it to myself. There's no one at home to talk about it. I talk to myself anyway. For the whole thing is simply so much a part of me, I just can't stop it. I'm telling everyone who they are. And I'm telling you, you really are the Son of God. You will know it, and others will know it too. It will always be the seeker who will see it. And so he asked, and Pilate said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Said, "Do you know this of your own accord? Did you have the revelation that I am the King of the Jews? Or did you hear it from another?" And then he said, "Am I a Jew? And may I tell you, you have to be a Jew before you can be a Christian. You couldn't possibly be a Christian unless you were a Jew. You may be an apple tree and not bear apples, but you can't bear apples unless you're an apple tree. So, Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. So if I am not a Jew, I can never bear the fruit, and the fruit is Christianity. It's the story, it's the pattern unfolding in man. So everyone is really a Jew, or he could never in eternity become the Christian. And the Christian is the fulfillment of Judaism. I could be a Jew and not be a Christian, not bear fruit. But I can't be a Christian and not be a Jew. That's the story. Everyone here and in the world is one of the sons of God. And collectively, they are Jesus Christ. And because we've been lifted up to the Father, and the Father, being Father, is still must be a Son, if he's Father, and he looks out on the humanity that did his will, all the horrors to which he put humanity. And collectively, humanity forms itself into one single youth who stands before him, and David. And he knows that David is his son, that is humanity. So David is the one who personifies humanity. And God being the father of humanity, having gone through the drama, he sees now the result of what he's done, and he stands before him as his son, and as his David. Now tonight, take me seriously. I'm not misleading you. I'm telling you what I know from experience. You start dwelling on your true identity. Yes, you are still the being that you are. But when you sleep at night, instead of sleeping in the consciousness of being, say, John, Mary, sleep in the consciousness of being the being you really are. You will not leave Mary behind. You came down to redeem Mary. But sleep in the consciousness of being Jesus Christ. Because I do not think in the long, in the distant future, in the not distant future, you will actually explode. I'm quite sure that's why you are here. You'll be here, I'll be gone, and many of you will simply explode. And many of you will see what I'm talking about and actually see that I am the being that I'm telling you that I am.
Now, well, let's go into the silence. Good. Are there any questions, please?
Well,
the question is, God was not a protean being before he descended. The protean being simply means the capacity to be anything that one wants to be in this world. So he had to have that capacity. And so he chose to be you. It was you choosing that, because you are that God who made the choice. You could have chosen to be this. You made your choice. I made my choice. Before we made our choice, we were brothers. Brothers in love. Infinite love. We held together for each other. You made your choice, I made your choice. And he chose us all in him before the foundation of the world. One being is now going to fall. The fall doesn't mean a falling through the face of the world, but a descent in consciousness to the limit of you, the limit of this. I talked to a friend of mine today on the phone to tell him that I'm coming to see him on Thursday afternoon. And I reminded him of a vision that he had a few years ago where someone high, he saw himself on the bed and he wanted, while he was above, to change the being that he knew himself to be. But he couldn't do it from above. He had to come down. And in coming down, he had to forget that he was the being with the power who could change it, and change it while he's identifying with the being. He could not from above give an order and have that thing changed in any way whatsoever. And he knew it while he was from above, but he saw it on the bed, and he knew it to be himself, the one with whom he identifies himself. And he had to come down, and in coming down, then he couldn't change it. He had to simply labor to change it. But above, it seemed so easy, but he realized he could not from above. He had to come down if he would do any changes whatsoever. So you and I came down into this world, and now we are wearing it. These are the causes. So the protean being is the capacity to be anything. So that's what Proteus means. Proteus could assume the form of a fish, the form of a giant, the form of anything in the service of his god, Neptune. And so, he simply was a being capable of assuming any shape whatsoever. Say, in your dream, you see all kinds of things, and you must confess they do come out of you in your dream. You see animals, strange animals, known animals, all kinds of combinations. And they're coming only out of you. You are a protean being. But you made a definite choice, and the choice is to be the one that you are. And if we are brutally frank with ourselves, I can conceive of giving up my identity for any being that ever walked, who walked, or will walk the face of this earth. It would be nice to know him, but not to lose my identity I can't conceive of that. No, when you're restored to life, you have not lost your identity. Oh, no, my dear. If you drop this very moment, you're restored to life in a world just like this. It's three-dimensional. It's terrestrial just like this. But you are you. There is no loss of identity. And this will continue until the birth takes place. See, Calvary is when God became man. Death